This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan. Wants to buy your seed? Visit MilliganBio.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. On today's program, got lots going on. APAS isn't surprised by the Competition Bureau being concerned about the Bungie Viterra merger. Off to a great start there. Elsewhere, the Prime Minister and the Governor General paid a visit to Saskatchewan. Justin Trudeau was asked about the recent changes to the capital gains tax in the federal budget, while Mary Simon visited a farm. And construction on a canola biodiesel facility in Alberta is underway. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. Coming up on Sask Ag Today is my chat with Ian Boxall, the head of APAS, about his reaction to the Competition Bureau being concerned about the Bungie Viterra merger.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. And Farm Fresh Water, fix your water problems. Visit farmfreshwater.ca. The Competition Bureau of Canada pointed out the Bungie Viterra merger would create substantially less competition for grain buying in Western Canada, as well as the sale of canola oil in Eastern Canada. It's something that Ian Boxall, the president of the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan, said confirms what he and the organization have been saying since last June.
So I think a couple big things is there'll be less competition, which then it'll become a take it or leave it type thing. And especially up where I farm and up in the Tisdale Northeast here with Bungie and three Viterras, that would be it reduces the competition up here for sure. And there's other areas that are in the same boat. And they just drove home what our concerns have been from the start of this announcement.
In addition to concerns of the erosion of competition in the grain and canola oil markets, Boxall believes there is concern about the merger from the public.
So public interest concerns. Viterra has an office in Regina. What happens with that? You know, what happens with those jobs and those people that are employed there? And so there is interest to the public in this merger because there could be huge effects to Saskatchewan. So I think it's important that we recognize that and that we recognize that, you know, the way the structure is now gives us competition in the marketplace. And we're losing it on every side of our business, grain buying, you know, input, auction houses, everything. And this is just one more where we can't afford for us to lose any more competition in any of these windows.
Transport Canada's public interest assessment is ongoing until June 2nd, so Boxall encourages anyone and everyone to weigh in on the merger.
Just anyone that has concern, reach out to Transport Canada. You know, there's concerns that the report that we've done and the research we've done with other groups in Saskatchewan has showed some potential issues at the port and how those trickle-down effects could affect producers and costs. And so I think if anyone does have concern about this merger, they should reach out to Transport Canada and even to the Competition Bureau and raise those concerns so that our voices are heard on this issue because it's a big one.
In the meantime, Boxall says APAS continues raising awareness about the issue and what it means to producers.
We had a conference call this morning with the groups that we've commissioned this study with, and hopefully we'll release some of that data here shortly and make sure people understand just what the effects look like from the study that we did. And you know, we'll just keep the pressure up that, you know, every level of government, provincial and federal, needs to ensure that farmers and Saskatchewan and the province's best interests are looked at in this merger.
The final decision on the proposed merger will be made by the federal cabinet, based on advice from Transport Minister Pablo Rodriguez. You're listening to Sask Ag Today. Up next is a visit from Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, as well as the Governor General. Not often they come to Saskatchewan, and when it happens, it's a pretty big deal. We'll find out what they were doing here right after the break.
We're back with SaskAg Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of SaskAg Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance. Storms are unpredictable, we aren't. See municipalhail.ca. There are many questions about changes announced in last week's federal budget regarding capital gains and the impact it could have on succession planning. Ottawa is planning to increase the taxable portion of capital gains from one-half to two-thirds. This would include all capital gains realized by corporations or trusts. The lifetime capital gains exemption will move from $1 million to $1.25 million on farms and will continue to be indexed to inflation in the future. There are concerns the tax burden could be passed from the older generation to the younger generation. Prime Minister Trudeau was asked by a reporter about the capital gains issues on intergenerational farm sales while in Saskatoon for another announcement at Wanuskewin Heritage Park.
We made a number of changes over the past years to make it easier for farm families to pass along their farms to next generations. At one point, it was easier and less expensive to sell your farm to a perfect stranger than to pass it on to a son or daughter. And that was wrong. That's why we actually made those changes a number of years ago. And we're going to continue to make sure that it is fair. Because fairness is at the heart of this budget and our approach to government. And we're going to be there to support farm families as they do the extraordinarily essential work of putting food on tables of Canadians right across the country and indeed increasingly feeding the world.
The federal budget listed June 25th as the date that the capital changes take effect. Capital gains and farm transfers are very complicated topics, and a detailed discussion with an accounting professional is highly recommended. Meantime, Governor General Mary Simon learned about some of the challenges facing farmers and ranchers during a visit to the Saskatoon area farm yesterday afternoon. The invitation was made by the Sask Ag Matters Mental Health Network. It is working to provide producers access to treatment from mental health therapists with agricultural backgrounds. Sask Ag Matter Director Sherry LaVenture says the Governor General spent a couple of hours on the farm 20 minutes east of Saskatoon.
She went for a little walk around, a walkabout, talked to the farmer's family that was gracious enough to host them, then came into the kitchen and we all sat around the table and we all told our stories because each of us have a unique story about why we do this and she wanted to hear them. Then she asked us some questions about what we thought we needed and where the shortfalls are. So it was a very relaxed conversation, but it was very good. She was very open to listening, and it was a two-way conversation. It wasn't just one of us talking or one of the other talking. We actually had a very good conversation. So very, very pleased to have her here in Saskatchewan and to have her ear.
While she can't provide any funding to the organization, SaskAg Matters hopes the Governor General will be able to raise public awareness about the need for more mental health therapists with agricultural backgrounds. You're listening to SaskAg Today on 620 CKRM. Up next, following the break, is AgriView with Doug Faulkner. One of the stories he's got is about the Canadian Grain Commission, and they have a new chief commissioner. We'll find out who that is right after this.
You're tuned in to SaskAg Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Faulkner of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and Migraine Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to migraineexchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
Longtime Manitoba civil servant David Hunt has been appointed Chief Commissioner of the Canadian Grain Commission. Federal Agriculture Minister Lawrence McAuley says he has no doubt that Hunt's leadership experience and commitment to a competitive, innovative, and resilient agriculture sector will ensure Canada continues to be recognized as a leading producer, processor, and exporter of high-quality grain. Most recently, Hunt served as Assistant Deputy Minister for Manitoba's Environment and Climate Change Department. He has also been the Assistant Deputy Minister for the Corporate Services and Innovation Division. He held several positions for Manitoba Agriculture. Hunt's four-year term as Chief Commissioner begins May 13th. Previous Chief Commissioner Doug Chorney's term was extended to April 30th, as the search for a successor had not yet wrapped up. Tightening supplies and solid demand continue to keep pea bids well supported in Western Canada, although uncertainty over whether that demand will continue was keeping some caution in the market as attention turns to the upcoming crop. Spot bids for green peas have topped $20 Canadian per bushel in parts of the prairies, while yellow pea pricing can be found in the $14 Canadian per bushel area, according to Prairie Ag Hotwire data. While prices may be high, there's very few green peas trading at current levels. That's according to broker Lavon Sargsyan of Johnston's Grain. He says supplies are tight, while drought projections also have farmers anticipating higher prices down the road as they begin spring seeding. For yellow peas, a pause in India's import tariffs accounted for solid export movement in recent months. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration says it has found bird flu virus particles in some samples of pasteurized milk, but says commercial milk supply remains safe. The FDA says that because the milk is pasteurized, it remains safe for human consumption, as the process kills harmful bacteria and viruses by heating milk to a specific temperature. The agency says it has been evaluating milk from affected animals in the processing system and on the shelves. It says it is completing a large representative national sample to understand the extent of the findings. The FDA says it's further assessing any positive findings through egg inoculation tests, which it described as a gold standard for determining viable virus. The British Columbia government is spending up to $25 million toward the construction of a milk production plant aimed at boosting the supply of locally sourced food products. The province says in a statement that the expansion to Vitalis Nutrition's plant in Abbotsford, B.C., will begin construction this summer and will increase local milk production by 50% to 1.4 billion liters annually. The province says the project will boost local production for dairy products such as butter, but is currently required to be shipped from eastern Canada to satiate local demand. It says this will also create up to 100 more jobs at the site. The province says the new milk production plant expansion will also anchor BC's new industrial development blueprint, which aims to focus on growing clean energy and sustainable industries. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Saskag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Here's Eric Weglars from Precision Weather. He talked earlier today with Corey Atkinson.
Just looking at the forecast, it's looking pretty warm and fairly dry at least. What's the forecast looking from your perspective when it comes to the next few days and how warm it's going to get?
Yeah, so the mild stretch obviously goes through around Thursday and even the start of Friday before a bit of a cool down here. So the short-term trend is a few high clouds. Otherwise, it's sunny this afternoon. Highs at around 21, no chance of rain today. We will find clouds increasing tonight. That'll actually keep the temperatures low, or at least a little bit lower than what we might expect. Lows around 9. We'll find mainly cloudy skies through the day on Thursday. The good news is it's still warm, even though there's not a ton of sunshine. Highs reach 22 through the afternoon on Thursday. A bit of a wind from the southwest between 15 and 30 kilometers per hour. Nothing intense in terms of wind. It's mostly cloudy overnight into Friday. A few stray showers are possible then. Lows back to 6. And we'll find more sunshine Friday and again on Saturday, but this starts the cooling trend briefly. So Friday's highs are around 18 through the afternoon, then down to 13 on Saturday. And Sunday should start an increase as we go into the start of next week. Highs will return to the middle and upper teens on Sunday. We'll find more sunshine to start next week with highs getting sequentially warmer each day going forward into the upper teens then.
Yeah, we seem to be in a good position where a cooling trend is just basically down to seasonal. So that's basically what we can expect for the next week here.
Yeah, that's the plan here, and no real, at least significant rainfall in the short term here, which we usually like to see a little bit in the spring, but nothing major in the short term, and it looks relatively nice, all things considered.
Normal highs for this time of year are around 15 degrees, the low zero. The sun rose in Regina at 5:45 this morning, and the sun will set at around 8:09 tonight. Taking a look around the province in Assiniboia, Moosomin, Estevan, and Swift Current, 19 degrees. Saskatoon is at 20, Yorkton, Melville, and Weyburn, 18. Hotspot in the province is in North Battleford at 20.9 degrees, and the cold spot in Collins Bay at -1.8 degrees. In Regina, it's a partly cloudy sky. South-southwest wind at 19 to 42 kilometers an hour. Humidity at 19%. Temperature is also at 19 degrees or 67 Fahrenheit. And the barometric pressure is at 101.5 and falling. In Moose Jaw, mainly sunny. South wind at 26, gusting up to 44 kilometers an hour. The temperature 20 degrees. Once again in Regina, if you're just tuning in, partly cloudy, south-southwest wind at 19 to 42 kilometers an hour, the temperature 19 degrees. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Saskag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Two or three generations ago, when large gardens were planted, it was important to know how to preserve food. Supply chains and large supermarkets have made it easier to buy fresh food, but as costs rise, a few consumers are preserving foods to save money. Martha Rogers is a certified master food preserver and was a guest on the Ask a Farmer podcast. She says there are many forms of food preservation.
As we refrigerate things or we freeze food, that's food preservation. But there are many other methods. Fermentation is very popular these days. It's so healthy for you. We have dehydration, so dehydrating or drying of all kinds of foods. And then we have various types of canning.
On a basic level, there are two types of canning.
One approach is for high acid foods, and that includes fruits, most fruits, not melons and not figs, but most fruits, and any vegetable that has been acidified, such as you would do with pickles, for example, you add vinegar, so that makes it more acidic. Those types of fruits and vegetables can be safely canned using a water bath canner or an atmospheric steam canner.
The other type of canning is low acidic.
And that would include vegetables, meats, fish, poultry, and so on. But it requires a different approach to canning, and that involves pressure canning. So the temperature has to be raised to at least 240 degrees Fahrenheit in order to safely can foods that are low in acid. So that's the basic question. Are my products low acid? Am I doing low acid canning, or am I doing high acid canning? So that's the fundamental question, I guess, to decide what approach to canning you're going to use.
Rogers says it's not always easy to determine if a food or a combination of foods are acidic or low acidic.
If you're doing something like a relish or a salsa, you have a mixture of vegetables, so the complexity of determining acidity is much greater. And this is why we would strongly recommend not just Googling recipes to choose. You need to use a reputable source because it's not just acidity, but the processing time in a test kitchen is determined using a thermocouple. So they put a probe into the jar to assess how long it takes for heat penetration to actually get into the jar. So if it's going to be different between a jar of jam or a jar of salsa.
Rogers says it is important to use canning recipes from a trusted source.
You need to use a recipe that is from a reputable source that's developed within a test kitchen over the last 20 years. Things like Test Kitchens of America, Canadian Living, where the recipes themselves have been actually developed in a test kitchen, where they determine the acidity level.
Test kitchens have made canning much easier than it was for your grandmother or great-grandmother. Rogers provides an example.
Years ago, it was thought that all jars and lids had to be sterilized. And it was a big production for everybody to have to sterilize everything and then sterilize the lids before you even got to the canning process. But now, through all the research, it's been proven that if your processing time is 10 minutes or longer, you don't have to sterilize the jars. It makes things a whole heck of a lot easier. They have to be hot and warm to receive the hot jam, but they don't have to be sterilized.
Martha Rogers is a certified master food preserver. Her comments come from the Ask a Farmer podcast. You can listen to the entire program and find links to a variety of canning recipes by going to CanadianFoodFocus.org and clicking podcasts at the top of the page. We'll take another break here on Sask Ag today, but when we return, we'll have a look at what Alberta is doing. There was an investment made recently into a production facility that'll support biodiesel. More on that right after the break.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies. Small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Canola producers in Alberta will have some additional markets for those bright yellow flowers. Strathcona County, just outside of Edmonton, is going to be home to Canada's largest renewable diesel facility. Construction on the project that's being funded by Imperial Oil is well underway, and the $700 million facility should be producing fuel sometime next year. Alberta's Ag Minister R.J. Sigurdsson was on hand for the announcement on Monday.
When the facility is fully operational, it will transform canola and other seed oils into renewable diesel that is lower in emissions than conventional fuels. To make this happen, Imperial will be sourcing most of its feedstock from canola producers right here in the province. In the meantime, construction is well underway, and the project is creating about 600 direct construction jobs for Albertans. Not only that, Imperial and the canola processors expect additional employment opportunities once the operation begins. Our government recognizes their business relationship will have invaluable economic spin-offs for Alberta's oilseed sector as well. We are pleased to know that Imperial will be sourcing low-carbon hydrogen for its operations from Air Products in Edmonton. Using low-carbon hydrogen to produce the lower-emissions renewable diesel will help cut greenhouse gases. As you can tell, this project has multiple benefits for Albertans.
Chris Verveet is the executive director of the Canadian Oilseed Processors Association.
Local production of renewable fuels derived from locally grown canola provides an important market diversification opportunity right here in our own backyard that will benefit farmers, processors, and the entire value chain in the province of Alberta. To put a finer point on this opportunity, this facility represents demand for canola seed that could be as large as 2.5 million metric tons per year. That's the size of some of our largest export markets today. This is value-added demand, as seed will be processed locally, supporting investments, job creation, and prices at the farm gate. Simply put, A project of this magnitude is a game changer for our industry and a win-win for all parties involved.
Canola is Alberta's highest value crop, with farm cash receipts worth nearly $4 billion last year. We'll take another break, but Sask Ag Today will return with the market update and a look at how grain prices at Viterra are doing in early trading.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Grain prices at Viterra were up in early trading today. Durum is up 30 cents to $400.31 a metric ton. Canola is up $4.90 to $607.52. And number one red spring wheat is up $8.75 to $327.66. And the rest were unchanged. Feed barley $232.58. Chickpeas $9.92.08. Flax $6.29.54. Lentils $7.87.50. Oats $2.71.32. Yellow peas $4.74.72. And feed wheat $2.33.45. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is up a quarter of a cent at $6.66.75 a bushel. Up next is the livestock report.
The Sask Ag Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of April 23rd. Our last regular sale was on April 10th. D1 and D2 cows sold from $1.64 to $1.87. D3 cows sold from $1.45 to $1.60. Canter cows sold from $1 to $1.20. Heiferettes sold from $2.25 to $2.65. And good butcher bulls sold from $1.92 to $2.07 with the odd sale to $2.18. We had our last pre-sorted calf sale at the spring run on Monday. 300 to 400 pound steers averaged $3.85 and sold at the $4.37. 400 to 450 pound steers averaged $4.41 and sold at the $4.66. 450 to 500 pound steers averaged $4.31 and sold at the $4.66. 500 to 550 pound steers averaged $4.32 and sold at the $4.60. 550 to 600 pound steers averaged $4.09 and sold up to $4.46. 600 to 650 pound steers averaged $4.07 and sold up to $4.22. 650 to 700 pound steers averaged $3.81 and sold up to $4.14. 700 to 800 pound steers averaged $3.57 and sold up to $3.88. And 800 to 900 pound steers averaged $3.19 and sold up to $3.57. Heifers were 35 to 50 cents back from the steers. Some of the highlights from the sale were a load of 600-pound black steers at $4.22 a pound, a load of 650-pound black steers at $4.14 a pound, and a group of 700-pound black steers at $3.88 a pound. We also had replacement heifers from Rattan Holdings and Reserve Creek. Their 790-pound black heifers brought $3.17 a pound, 840-pound black heifers at $3.13 a pound, and their 815-pound red heifers at $3.17 a pound. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices too.
And the latest pork prices are down 3 cents to $220.70 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
It's the Sask Ag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Mazank Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler serving southern Saskatchewan for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazank, 306-721-6667. Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland says she hopes even more funding will follow after the federal government announced $5 billion for an Indigenous loan guarantee program in last week's budget. Freeland spoke to reporters at the First Nations Major Projects Coalition Conference, saying that funding is just the start. The program will see the federal government secure loans for natural resource and energy projects, helping Indigenous borrowers secure more favorable interest rates. The First Nations Major Projects Coalition estimates there will be $525 billion in capital investment opportunities for Indigenous equity participation over the next 10 years. On the markets, the TSX is down 122 points at 21,889. The Dow is down 4 points to 38,498. Oil is down 69 cents at $82.67 per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is at 73 cents US. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's going to do it for Sask Ag Today on this Wednesday. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.